book of Zephaniah. We're traveling slow, but we're traveling thorough.
Amen.
And we've got to the rapture.
Amen.
I'm going to
sit here. We know it all then.
We know it all then. We won't need a teacher then.
Perfect moment.
Then you'll get a raspberry.
Yeah. Okay, Zephaniah, we got down to verse 4. 4 and 5, they're kind of, they work together here. Verses 4 and 5 will be worked together here. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. All right, he stretches his hand upon Judah. He pours out his judgment on Judah and all Israel. Now, this is God pouring out judgment on his own people. Think about that a minute. God killing his own people. God warned the Jew all throughout the scriptures, but he gave them a terrible, horrible warning in Deuteronomy 28:63. And I mean, you think this would have scared them. Deuteronomy 28:63. That's a terrible warning here he gives to the Jews. Deuteronomy 28:63. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. That's rough. He will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now that's what he said he would do to Israel if they sinned against him and hard-headed on and hard-hearted on in their sin, and that's what brought judgment on them. The Jews are still God's chosen people, even though he judges them, and he's judging them now, and the worst judgment yet is coming up in tribulation. They're still his people.
Amen.
The Bible says God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now, some people think God's finished with the Jew. They think he's done with them. No more restoration. No more Jewish running the globe. But that's wrong. That's wrong. I was arguing with an eye doctor one time in Tompkinsville. The Jew come up, and this guy said he was finished with the Jew, had no more time for the Jew. I said, you're wrong there. He's not finished with them. He's going to judge them. But after the tribulation, they're going to be reinstated. They're going to be saved and reinstated, and they're going to be the capital of this planet. And he didn't even believe in the tribulation, so you can't hardly talk to anybody like that. Didn't even believe in the tribulation. He's going to save the nation at the end of the tribulation. Look at Romans 11:26. Romans 11:26. He's going to save them. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, we're supposed to treat the Jew as beloved for the Father's sake. That's the way we're supposed to treat the Jew. Look at verse 28, Romans 11. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Now, God whips them enough without me and you trying to whip them. Let God take care of them. We're not supposed to judge them. God judges them. He'll whip them enough without anybody else whipping them. Now, it says there, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He used Nebuchadnezzar to come in and take Jerusalem captive and destroy Jerusalem once. He used Titus again in 70 AD to destroy Jerusalem. The Jews said, when they had Christ out there on trial, they said, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. And that's the way it wound up. They wound up under a Roman ruler, and they've been under Rome ever since. And Rome come in 70 A.D. and destroyed Jerusalem. The historian Josephus said that they killed 1,300,000 Jews when Titus came in there and and destroyed Jerusalem. They said they crucified him on both sides of the main street for about a mile. They had him hung up on crosses when Titus came in there to destroy him. But he's going to destroy him a third time. The Lord's going to, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed the third time, and that'll take place in the tribulation under the Antichrist. Zechariah 12:2. Zechariah 12:2. And then after all this judging, then the Lord's going to come back at the end of tribulation to save what's left of them and then reinstate them. That'll be Zechariah, what did I say, 12:2. Zechariah 12:2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Look at 14:2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's coming up, tribulation. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken and the houses rifled. That means they're going to be ruined, they're going to be destroyed, and the women ravished. Rape. That, you know, that goes on a lot when a foreign occupation takes over a country. When they go in and take a country, wickedness is usually rampant. When they do this in Jerusalem during tribulation, the women are going to be ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So that's what's coming up. Three times they're destroyed. They're destroyed in 2 Kings 25, 2 Chronicles 26, Jeremiah 52, and one time coming up when Antichrist comes in and destroys Jerusalem and besieges it. All right, I'll also stretch out my hand upon Judah, upon all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerams, which the priest, with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. So they're worshiping and swearing by four different gods in these two verses. That's what the Jews did during this time period. The gods they're worshiping and swearing by are Baal, the host of heaven, the Lord, and Malcolm. You know, you got to have a little truth in there to make the lies fly. That's the way this thing works even today. So they're worshiping all four of them. Now, the Catholics today use Jesus and Mary. They use Jesus and Mary. They pray to Mary. And you tell me something. How can 500 million people praying to Mary, how can she hear all of them at the same time?
Absolutely.
You know what they do when they say that? They equate her with God. They equate her with Jesus Christ. They put her on the same level as Christ. Now, they think she's equal to God. They say that Christ is God and that Mary is His mother. You've heard the phrase, the mother of God, the mother of God. That's all you hear in that organization, the mother of God, the mother of God. If Mary is God's mother, I wonder who His grandmother is. You see, they don't think about what they're saying. They don't even make good sense.
I can hear one,
let alone 500. Yeah. She don't hear any of them. She's not the mediator.
Right.
The Bible says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." That's
right.
Not Mary. All right. Now, these Chimerams here, that's used one time in the Bible. These were idolatrous priests. These were the priests of the idols and of the devil gods. That's what those fellows were. And they worked right along beside the true priests of Israel. 2 Kings 23, 4 and 5, I think, talks about this. 2 Kings 23, 4 and 5. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. For Baal. Now they had those things in the temple, worshiping Baal with them, and for the grove, and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them to Bethel. Now they had those things in the temple, and they had them brought out. And but that's pretty rash. These priests come in, they set up these idols and things, they put them right into the temple of God. And then this king came along later and had them took out. Now Manasseh, you remember who Manasseh was? We talked about him a few weeks back. He was son of Zedekiah. You know what Zedekiah cried to the Lord? Didn't want to die. The Lord told him he's going to die, get his house in order. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave him 15 more years. Remember that? We talked about that a while back. All right, during that 15 years, Manasseh was born. And when his son took over the throne, he was the worst king Israel ever had. He brought back Baal worship to Judah after this king cleaned it up. He built altars for him in the temple. He set up another idol in the temple when he took over. 2 Kings 21 talks about this. Well, okay, we won't read it all. We just kind of hit some highlights. But Manasseh brought all that stuff back in when he was king. 2 Kings 21.
Hey, Mike, just reading down in the Bible, something that I just noticed.
Go ahead.
In the Bible, when there's pagan worship, so it's always talking about the grove. What's that mm-hmm. grove?
Yeah, that's image. Where they set up their idols under trees. They had a line. They set up lines of trees, and they used those for idol worship. A lot of times they'd have an idol underneath it. They set those things out and an example. Let me see if I can think of an example. I don't know of any examples today, but like they said, they have images today.
Is that like statues of Mary in people's yards and stuff?
Yeah, similar. They have images today. In Washington, you find more images in Washington than you can anywhere almost on the planet.
I actually read a thing that, like, a lot of times there's a place called the Grove that a lot of politicians.
It's called the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, the Bohemian Grove.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, there's some research on it.
You can see an idol of Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm.
There's a note about that in Deuteronomy chapter 16. It talks about the groves so often mentioned in the Old Testament were devoted to the worship of Ashtoreth,
mm-hmm.
the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, the Aphrodite of the Greeks,
demon.
The Romans, Venus.
Yeah, there's some idols of four presidents on this mountain. You know what mountain that is? Rushmore? See, idols right there. Those are images.
Right.
Image. Now, most people don't bow down to those things. And they don't use them as aids to worship. But in a sense, they're still, those men are still exalted.
Right.
I mean, they're exalted enough that they cut their faces in a mountain. But some of those idols, there are people that actually bow down to those things.
Right.
And worship those things. Especially
give allegiance.
Especially in certain churches and religion, they'll bow down and cross themselves. They use those things as aids to worship. They think those things help them get closer to God. That's what's going on.
I like Kentucky basketball.
Yeah, the cat.
When they call Obama.
That gets you in trouble. You better watch it.
What about when they call Obama's face of bird and all in red? They'd really be bound down in.
Yeah, they got a Martin Luther there, too.
He was joking, but where was we? 2 Kings 21 talked about some of
yeah.
Manasseh. That's where we was. Manasseh, the worst king Israel ever had. He brought back in all this pagan idol worship. He was 12 years old and began to reign. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. After the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel, before, he built up again. He brings all that stuff back in. The high places. You know, there's a high place today. You know, there's this preacher, he's dead now. He died a few years back. He had him a high place.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? He was on the Charismatic Pentecostal
that one had
TVN
the drink.
Network.
That the one had the drink. Building that tire.
Yeah, and he had this thing out a while back of, that the Lord's going to kill him if he couldn't raise $1 million. What was his name?
That's Martin Luther King, wasn't it?
No, this is a different thing. I can't come up with his name right
now. Robertson, right?
No, he's
Robertson.
Oral Roberts. See, he said this thing, he came off of this deal, God was going to kill him if he didn't raise $1 million.
Yeah.
And in 8 days, he had 8 days to do it.
He didn't make it, did he? Yeah, he did.
On the eighth day, some multimillionaire mailed him a check for $1 million. And he built this high tower. It's called High Place in the Bible. And when he get ready to pray for something, huh?
William Branham guy kind of did that. You heard of William Branham?
No, no, I haven't
heard of William Branham. Branham here in Kentucky? He'd raise from the dead.
No, that's new one on me.
Yeah.
Anyways, this Oral Roberts, he built this big tower. When he gets ready to pray, he goes up to his high place.
Babylon.
He goes up to his high place. I mean, that stuff's still remnants of that stuff around. He brings back idol worship. He built up again the high places, which Hezekiah's father had destroyed. He reared up altar for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven. Number 4, verse 4, that's where he really blasphemed God. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. He takes in things in the temple, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. He built altars for all the hosts of heaven. He burned his son in the fire to a devil god. Now, that's how far they go with it. They burnt their children, and they burned them alive, too.
You know what? I know this is not a time this lesson, but you know, a lot of these things going on here, it don't make no sense. It ain't nothing but just demon-possessed people doing the work of the devil, killing that pilot, crashed that plane, killed 150 innocent people. And, man, it just goes on and on and on, and they ain't got no answer for it. And the reason they don't want to look to the what's really going on.
They don't have any answers because they're trying to avoid lawsuits over that deal.
Yeah.
2 Kings 23, when Josiah takes over, he gets rid of that stuff again.
I like that verse 7.
Which verse 7?
2 Kings 23, verse 7. He broke down the house of the Sodomites, right, which were by the house of the Lord. That's my man right there. I vote for him right now.
2 Kings 23, Josiah takes over. Manasseh's son comes in, takes over, and he gets rid of all this stuff. See, that Israel has this history. They'll set them up, then they'll get a good king, they'll take them down. They'll set them up, and they'll take them down. You think they would learn, wouldn't you? I mean, when they set these things up and start worshiping these devil gods, judgment sets in. A good king come along, gets rid of them, then they have, they'll have good times again, prosperity again. And then a bad king will come along, set up, and they go right back into it again. You think they'd learn, wouldn't you? Well, you think we'd learn, don't you?
The preacher the other day was talking about that. He said there is coming a day when history will not repeat itself.
Amen.
That's good news.
Hallelujah.
That's good news. 2 Kings 23. Josiah, he gets rid of these idols. You can read this. I won't go through all the details. He goes through here and he gets... 23, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein the Passover was holding to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the works with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away. He got rid of them.
Praise the Lord.
He got rid of them. And verse 27, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I said my name shall be there. I was trying to find that verse you read, brother.
Verse 7.
Verse 7, yeah. And look what God commends him for this here. God commends him for this. And you break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. I mean, the Sodomites were worshiping right along with the Lord, and the Jews were going along with it. Now think about that a minute. You have Sodomite churches today in California, and they say they're worshiping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worshiping the Lord. You can't get along with God while you sin.
Fellowship of light with darkness.
You can't get along with God while you live a wicked life. You're asking for trouble. They're worshiping a different God.
Yeah.
That's what they're worshiping. All right, that's what was going on here. That's what Zephaniah is talking about here. Now here Zephaniah is preaching against a Baalite priesthood operating right alongside the legitimate or the straight priest of God. They were working side by side. Now that's strange. That'd be like Brother Ricky and the Mormon pastor this morning working side by side, working together and getting along. But neither one would probably compromise, but they were getting along on some basis. It's called ecumenism. Mm-hmm. They're going to agree on some things they can agree on. Don't bring up our differences. That's what that's all about. That's what was going on here. It's still going on today. Now, God's going to wipe out the real priests along with the fake priests. Now think about that a minute. When he judges the fake ones or the devil worship, he kills the good priests along with them. That's more collateral damage, I'd say. Maybe. But they had to compromise to be even in the same building with them. You agree? They had to compromise. And they get it too. They get it too. Now, after Josiah's death, his sons and his grandsons brought that pagan mess back into Judah. Brought it back into Israel and started worshiping again. In Ezekiel 8, that thing happens 30 years after Josiah. In Ezekiel 8, there's an idol back in the temple. There's pictures on the wall that resemble television. Women are weeping for a pagan god, and they're worshiping the sun. Look at Ezekiel 8. All that stuff's in Ezekiel 8. Ezekiel 8.
Verse 8 to 11.
He sees the glory of God, and then starts verse 5. Look at verse 5. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now toward the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. They got another entry set up right at the door of the temple. Again. Verse 6. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here. Israel's doing this. They took up that pagan worship again. This is God's chosen people doing this. Committeth here that I should go far off from my sanctuary and turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. He says, turn around. Ezekiel, just turn around and I'm going to show you something else they're doing. Here's what he sees. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. A hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. You know, when you're looking at a television, it's like you're looking at a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And you're seeing some things in there that if it's not in your living room, you're looking through something and seeing it. This is similar to what's going on here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel, and in the midst of them stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. So these priests are in there worshiping these creatures. Every creeping thing, they're worshiping them. Incense goes up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man that in the chambers of his imagery. You know, most people, when they watch TV, they sit around in the dark and watch TV. They look through that hole in the wall.
Yeah.
That's wild, ain't it, how that thing portrays it. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Now, that's jaded right there. You have degenerated into a mess when you think that the Lord can't see you. If you're hiding in a dark room, you say, the Lord can't see me. Something's wrong. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding both good and evil, the Bible says. Now that was what was going on here in the days of Judah. That's what brought in Nebuchadnezzar and besieged Jerusalem and Judah and took them captive to Babylon. That's why they were besieged for 2 years. That's why they starved. That's why they boiled their own kids and ate them.
Right.
For this stuff that was going on. God told him, he said, I'll destroy you if you keep this stuff up. And that's exactly what he did.
Verse 14, there's women weeping for Tasmos.
Yep.
Verse 16, they got their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, worshiping the sun.
True.
Toward the east. It's just abomination after abomination.
And the Lord told them when they prayed to face Jerusalem and prayed toward the temple, they were doing just the opposite when they were doing all this idol and devil worship. That's what was going on. That's what brought on the trouble.
He said in verse 18, he said, I'll deal in fury, my eye will not spare, neither will I have any pity, though they cry in my ear with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Mm. Well, he's writing everything he does then.
He gave them warning. He gave them warning. He gave them fair warning, and they just hard-headed on. All right, now, the remnant of Baal, notice that. I will cut off the remnant of Baal. You know there's always been a remnant of Baal ever since number 22? Number 22 where that thing started.
Hers.
They tried to get Balak to come out and curse Israel. He wouldn't curse them. God told him not to curse them. He stopped him from cursing them. But then he told Balaam, Balak told Balaam how to get him in trouble with God. And you know the story if you read your Bible.
Oh, yeah.
They had him send in those women with him.
Right.
And got the women to mix in with him. Got them fornicating with the women.
Right.
And God judged them. That's how he done it. That thing has been a remnant of that thing around ever since. I will cut off the remnant of Baal. Now, the first mention of that thing is Numbers 22. The Baalites hated the Jew. They hated the Jew. They liked to see them wiped out. Now, do you know of any religions today that hates the Jew and would like to see them wiped out?
Don't you?
Two of them.
Muslims
and the Catholics. Now, the Catholics have killed the Jews by the million. You say, who? I don't know if any Catholics. Hitler was one of the best Catholics that ever lived.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the Pope didn't have him dechurched or didn't even renounce him or say anything about it after he killed 6 million Jews. There's another group that hates Jews and want to kill them. They're Muslims. Those are remnants of Baal. Mm-hmm. Muslims. Muhammad's last prayer, right before he died, Muhammad prayed that Allah would destroy every Jew and every Christian on this planet. That was his last prayer. Look at Revelation 2:14. Revelation 2:14. All the way up to 96 A.D., you still have a remnant of Baal. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, still here, still around, 96 A.D., who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things that sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. That's what happened when they sent those women in down there out in that wilderness. There's still a remnant of them around in 96 A.D. Now, the Jews adopted this devil worship. They took it up, off and on, off and on, off and on. They took it up in Judges chapter 2, verse 13. Joshua, Judges 2, 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Talking about the Jews there. 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16. And you wonder why Israel's in the mess they're in today. And you wonder why this great tribulation coming up is going to almost wipe every one of them out off the planet of the earth. It's because of all this stuff right here. 1 Kings 16:28. But he's not finished with them. Don't ever forget that. He's going to reinstate them at the end of tribulation. 1 Kings 16:28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And Ahab, boy, that was a bad king. And Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And look what he does. In the 38th year of King Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, above all that were before him. It came to pass that a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel. She was a Baalite. So he married a Baalite woman. And now the king done this. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes when the king messes up, people suffer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That happens even
when
today.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule,
people
mourn.
That's exactly it. So he marries a Baalite woman, and he brings, says she was a king, she was the daughter of Baal, king of Zidonian, and went and served Baal, worshipped him, and so forth and so on in the rest of the chapter. So that's what's bringing judgment against Israel.
Verse 33 said he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. He went a little further, didn't he?
Yep. Even though Manasseh was the worst, he was worse in some things that Manasseh was lighter in. Now, the Catholics, you know, if you know history, that the Catholics used to rule this planet. They was the government of this world. And that was called the Dark Ages. There was more killing and torture going on during that time. They estimated that they killed 50 million Christians during that time when they had control of government. Now, they don't have control of government now, global. They've got control of government in Mexico. They got control of government in Italy. They got control of government in Spain. They got control of government in some countries. The Muslims don't have global control yet. But they're working on it. They're trying to take over Great Britain right now. And they're wanting to take over the U.S., and they're doing it subtly. But now, when the Catholics and the Muslims take over the world government, you better lay low and be careful. If this happens before the rapture takes place, if this happens before we're out of here, and they take over the government, you better lay low and be careful. You better be careful. Now, there's a time to run. Remember that. Look at Matthew 10:23. There's a time to run.
We've already got them in the White House.
But they don't have control yet.
I know it.
They can't bring in Quranic law yet. But when they bring in Quranic law, you're going to have to do business different.
They're working on it.
You're going to have to do business different. Matthew 10:23. There's a time to run. But when they persecute you in this city, flee. Run. Flee ye into another. Alright. There's a time to run and there's a time to hide. They ran in Acts chapter 14. Look in Acts 14. They ran.
Where you run to, man?
You run somewhere where they're not.
That's what we're wondering about.
Acts 14. You know, but in the tribulation, there's not going to be many hiding places. Acts 14. Acts 14, 3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by the hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully to stone them, they were aware of it and fled. They run. There's a time to run. Now, if the Baalite system takes over the world government before we get out of here, there'll be a time you need to run. There'll be a time you need to hide and be careful. But if you get caught, then you take your stand. If you get caught. Now, until you get caught, you got to try to survive and serve the Lord. And it'd be tough serving the Lord in that situation. But you could slip somebody a trap secretly. You could give them a witness secretly. William Tyndale ran and hid for his life and protected the truth. I got a book at home called God's Outlaws about William Tyndale. Boy, it's good. When those Catholics would try to catch him and kill him, he would run and hide. He would flee a country. He would run and hide while he was translating the scriptures out of Greek into the English. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop that. He run and hide. And because he run and hide, we got a Bible today.
That's like our North Korean missionary. He's had to leave there, I think, because he's in South Korea.
True. Yeah. If William Tyndale had played John Wayne, we might not have this book.
That's right.
If William Tyndale had played the tough guy, no telling what would have happened, but he ran and he hid while he was translating this book to keep the Catholics from killing him and burning his work. Now, he was finally caught. William Tyndale, they finally caught him. What they done, after they caught him, they tied him up to a stake, and then they put a rope around his neck and tied it to the stake, and they tightened it and they strangled him to death. That's what they done to him when they caught him. And then 3 years later, they say, well, that wasn't enough. You know what they done? They went out and they dug up his body, tied it to a post, and burned it to ashes. That's what they done to William Tyndale. And you know why they done that? They didn't want you having this.
Right.
Because they was in control. And as long as they was in control and you went to them to see what this said, they had you under their thumb.
I wonder who was provoking to do work. That, though.
Huh?
Well, over the years, right after they burned the ashes, was it somebody else that took took his translation scripts or whatever, manuscript?
Who was his successor? I can't come up with it right off the top. Brain dead. Anyway, William Tyndale didn't have the John Wayne mentality when they were hunting for him. And the John Wayne mentality will get you killed in that situation, and your service is over then. Your service is over. Where if you watch yourself and be wise and be careful, you can get a little more work down to the Lord before you're out of here.
Yeah.
You've got to think correctly if this situation happens. You say, well, it'll never happen in America. Hey, it's almost happening right now in Great Britain. The Muslims have almost got the country right now in Great Britain. And they want America. And if they can get control of America, then they can get control of the rest of the world. And during the tribulation, after we're gone, the two powers that be will be Roman Catholics and Muslims. So it's coming. I just hope it doesn't happen before we get out of here. But if it does, you got to watch your business. You're going to have to think different. And you're going to have to try to survive. Okay, we're done.
That's why Brother F. had to pray that God would raise up several Samsons and all that. He said, that old boy took
him. Brother Scott will be on next week.
That old boy took a job. Took a job on the ass and got 1,000 bucks.
Yeah.